The Defense Department doesn't say much in public about its offensive cyber capabilities, more precisely what its offensive cyber warriors do. But at least as far as how they're organized, they are largely separated from the workforce that operates and defends the military's networks. For a military organization, that's a bit unusual, according to General Keith Alexander, the director of the National Security Agency and the commander of U.S. Cyber Command.
You don't have infantry guys who, you're the defender infantry, you're the recon infantry, and you're the attack infantry. Think of how ludicrous that is, but that's what we have in our networks today. As a military.
The result, Alexander told an AFCEA conference last week, is that networks are more vulnerable than they should be.
I am convinced that we don't train our people to a standard that's high enough to defend our systems. We don't. We say we're going to operate as a team, but each component of our team is trained different. Our signal community is trained to operate and defend. Our intelligence exploitation team is trained and cleared at a different standard. And normally this information cannot be shared, top secret level information cannot be shared with folks who are at a secret level. And then we have an attack community, and everybody is trained to different standards over here.
Alexander says in cyber war, the advantage already goes to the attacker, and DOD isn't doing enough to use the attack know-how it already has under its belt to inform the way it plays defense.
We're training them on how to operate and put up the network, without really integrating in all the benefits that the exploit and the attack community have.
Alexander says he wants all of the military services to train their entire cyber workforces, particularly managers, to a single set of standards so that everyone has a common understanding of the cyber battlefield. Offensive cyber warriors, for example, should be able to share what they know about a potential adversary's networks with U.S. personnel who operate and defend American networks from attack, potentially from the same adversaries. There are some early examples of that kind of integrated training, Alexander says, in the Navy in particular.
I think the way the Navy is bringing together under 10th Fleet and pulling together is what I think all the services need to look at as a model. And what that means is, for the Army as an example and for the Air Force, looking at our communications, signal community, our crypt analytic community, our computer science community, and bringing them together as a team and calling that cyber. Because if we don't, what we're going to have happen is the communications environment is going to drop pretty drastically. This has happened in the past, and of course the first thing people do is say, well, I don't need that. And what you see is, as we transform our communications environment, the requirement for that signal community is going to go. And then we're going to look over here where our cyber team is supposed to be, and we're not going to have either. So what we've got to do is transform that force through that training that we're talking about and make them all of one team.
Alexander says changing training schemes for the workforce is one of several key initiatives he and the five military services that provide forces to Cyber Command have settled on. Another is building a network architecture that's much easier to defend than what exists today.
And I look at the DOD architectures today. We make this really hard. We have 15,000 enclaves. Think about that. 15,000 enclaves, each individually managed. And the consequence of that is each one of those is patched and run like a separate fiefdom. And those that are responsible for defending them can't see down beyond the firewalls. And so situational awareness, I think HBSS is helping, but practically speaking, situational awareness is non-existent.
HBSS is a host-based security system. Each of the military services and the Defense Information Systems Agency have been working to implement the commercial security software on their respective networks. It's designed to actively monitor for potential threats down to the level of desktop PCs and laptops. And Rear Admiral Bob Day, the commander of Coast Guard Cyber Command, says it has indeed made a big difference. It's installed now on 48,000 workstations and 1,200 Coast Guard servers.
And I'm telling you, it's starting to demonstrate some significant capability. The lessons that we're learning and passing back and forth amongst each other through DISA is starting to really have a drastic impact. I am able to see things now and have situational awareness on my networks that I did not have before, and it's starting to come in real time where I can start taking action. I mean, literally 3 years ago, any indications that we saw were coming from second parties who had capabilities that I did not have. They would tell me that there's a case on a machine somewhere in the Coast Guard, and it could take upwards of 2 or 3 days before that workstation was actually removed from the network. With these tools and with new doctrine in TTP, where operational personnel in the field realize that this is a significant threat that needs to be taken care of immediately, no different than an incoming, we're starting to change that real culture that's out there in the field such that they recognize that a cyber threat is no different than a threat to any other part of the perimeter.
To get to that point, though, Day says the Coast Guard first had to collapse its various disparate networks and reduce the number of data pipes to the public internet through the government-wide Trusted Internet Connections Initiative. Day says the entire service now relies on just 3 trusted connections. Compared to the Coast Guard's much larger sister services, though, those were easy tasks. The Army and Air Force are still trying to create service-wide governance for their much larger networks. Suzanne Vautrinot, the new commander of Air Force Cyber Command, is struggling with that problem as the Air Force tries to merge into a single network called AFNET. She says getting the entire military onto something that resembles one network is going to be expensive and slow.
When you move from what you have, which is a heterogeneous, kludged compilation of all the things we developed brilliantly over the last couple of decades, to that kind of an environment, it is extraordinarily expensive. And I think AT&T, it was on the order of 5 years, 70% of their capital investment in order to create that kind of an environment. So certainly the right way to head, but there's a recognition that right up front, you don't just shift in midstream, you have to move there from what we have.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.